Women probably won't even exist. It'll just be like one gender.
Wait, just no, maybe be women. We can just, yeah, we can do like desert lizard it and be able to reproduce by humping other women's legs. Just saying.
You had a story that you wanted to tell.
Don't be suspicious.
This is FemStrong, the podcast by, for, and about women in strength sports. I'm Jess.
I'm Britt.
I'm Meredith.
Welcome to the podcast about strength sports that is not dominated by a male voice. Yes, I did.
Nailed
it.
That was you were gripping in on that ASMR sound. I think I just like your voice, maybe. Oh. Not maybe, I do like your voice.
Thank smooth you. Listening to Jess.
Okay. I'm blushing now, so I'm gonna go and stop.
Welcome to a podcast that talks about how much we like my voice. So who wants to start talking about their training?
I'll go, I guess.
Yeah, girl, go for it.
My training is going well. I made a big decision with my training this week. Well, I made it last week, but I talked about it with Britt this week. I am going to peak in a couple of months, mm-hmm. and then kind of step back and away from powerlifting in the gym in general. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that's changed in my life in the last couple of months. I got a new job where I work different hours, mm-hmm. and if there's traffic, it's at least a 40-minute drive each way to the gym, mm-hmm. and I get off later at night than I usually do, and I'm just not into driving 40 minutes each way and then working out in the middle of that. I like to be in bed by 9. So
that's wonderful.
I also can feel my body very much starting to resist what I'm doing with it in the gym. And so I decided, instead of like I did in my early 20s, to be like, meh, it's fine, I'm gonna keep going and end up injured.
Beat the body to the ground.
Yeah, I'm just listening. So I'm still, of course, going to follow powerlifting and be a part of this podcast, obviously.
You don't have a choice.
Thank you. I'm just going to, like, go for walks and do yoga and lift a lot of kettlebells and do different things with my body. And mm-hmm. I think it'll be really good. And I think when I do go back to powerlifting eventually, it'll be even better.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be good for you with yoga and like, exploring that side a bit more, especially now that you're like in tune with your body in a different way than mm-hmm. you were when you were like deep in yoga last time.
Totally. So,
yeah.
And I think this is not an uncommon thing for mm-hmm. powerlifters or people in strength sports to decide to do it anytime, but also in the midst of COVID.
Right? Yeah.
My gosh.
But the burnout is real in lots of different ways in our lives. And it's okay to take a step back. It doesn't mean that you'll never come back.
True.
Doesn't mean that you have to come back.
Yeah, and there's definitely parts of the decision that we can talk about outside of the podcast, just to not name names and things. Mm. But I just, it's different to, I sat with it for a while and was wondering if I just was feeling like I wasn't motivated. Mm. And it's deeper than that. It's just that my body is very tired of the powerlifting motions right now.
Well, and here's the thing. Like identifying that and mm-hmm. understanding that and acknowledging it is much better and increases the likelihood of you returning to the sport than ignoring it and getting to a place of resentment as opposed to like
absolutely
not feeling motivated. Maybe like a place of resentment is so hard to come back from.
Absolutely. And I don't want to get there with powerlifting. It's given me too much. That's where I'm at.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Britt, how's your training going?
It's going pretty good. I am 7 weeks out from the Kern, and I hit 415 for a repped squat really easy this weekend, and I did a self rep. So I'm pretty happy with
that.
That
was easy money, dude. It was, well, I mean, it looked like it.
It felt easy. It was supposed to be an RPE 7, and it felt like it. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, dude.
I'm really trying to do all the things outside of the gym that add up right now. And that can be hard when you're feeling beat down, but it makes a big difference. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like today you went swimming.
Today I went swimming. Yeah.
Real briefly, just... because some listeners might not know, like, what are some of the other things outside of the gym that you try to control for your performance and training?
Oh boy. So sleep, honestly, like, that's probably top of the list. Trying to get not just hours of sleep, but like quality sleep. So for me, I'm very light sensitive. I have to make sure I control the environment around me. Different people have different things. Nutrition, I'm really keen in my nutrition right now. I'm being very specific about it. I'm carb cycling.
Yes.
So, which is really difficult for me. Like today, right now, you guys are seeing me on like 170 grams, whereas on training days, I'm like 330, 310.
Damn.
Yeah, wow. It's a very big delta for me because it makes a big difference for
me. Do you do your own nutrition?
I do do my own nutrition. Yeah. No, you're all good. I actually was thinking about it the other day. I'm very data analytic with my clients. I actually just like rolled out a new way of collecting data from them. And I really like it. And
it's awesome.
It's helped. Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's actually helping me with coaching myself. It's kind of removing. I just look at my data just like it is anybody else. Whereas before, it was a lot more manual work. I had to sit there and like really analyze each part of it. Whereas now I can just be more analytical and like high level with it and just go over to the graphs and see what our rolling averages are and what we might need to like adjust.
Nice. At first I thought you said grass.
I did too.
Oh. It's like, what does grass have to do with nutrition?
Grass. But yeah, so sleep, nutrition, you know, being hydrated, and then there's the physical activities you can do. For me, swimming is super helpful. But yoga, any sort of PT corrective exercise, the thing that your coach might give you as a warm-up, see if you should do those on the other days. That's something my coach and I have talked a lot about, is doing your warm-up activities and drills on non-workout days. It can be really helpful.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, Jess.
Hey.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How's your training going?
My training... there are definitely highs and lows. The last like 2 months in my personal life have been like a huge challenge for me. And I don't think that anyone can ever go through like huge life changes without it affecting some part of their training. And I talked a little bit about this in a different episode, but part of it is it affected my appetite. So either I wasn't eating enough or I was eating too much or not enough of the right macros. And like gyms in Portland haven't been open that long. So the last 2 weeks is the first 2 weeks in a row where I've hit all five lifts. So I lift 5 days a week. So that's been really good. And then last week I had 3 days of cardio. Like one of them was like after like a lighter lift, which is just really good for me. I know that we're a podcast about strength sports, but when you do something like strongman, a lot of times, like some forms of cardio are like pretty necessary because you have to be able to move quickly in the competition. So I actually also signed up for a contest. My next contest is going to be on May 1st. It's Oregon's Strongest Man and Woman. It is a qualifier for the nationals in June, which I won that nationals as a heavyweight. I'm going to try to go as a super heavyweight. Now, that being said, it's the last day. The day of my contest is the last day that you can register for nationals. Ooh. And there's a cap because of COVID. So I might not get to go, but I'm going to do this contest anyway because I just need something to focus on. This week in particular, my squats, we had to drop the weight, which really sucked. But it's because I figured out something with the form that I was doing wrong with the safety squat bar. And what I was doing wrong was making it easier. And so when we fixed it, it's okay.
I had my first go around with the safety squat bar this week and it's
killer. So fun fact about the safety squat bar, and I'm not going to be too long-winded because we're trying to stay on track. If you pull the handles down as you're squatting up, it makes your back do more work than your quads and your hamstrings and your glutes. And I was doing that, and it was making it easier because my back is really strong because my deadlift is stronger than my squat. And so my coach finally, like, something just finally clicked and I was doing it right, but my ability to do, like, my top end weight wasn't there anymore. So we had to drop the weight, and that's fine because I'd much rather have the longevity of actually doing it right.
That's a there huge conversation, actually, that we should someday have.
I agree.
There's nothing wrong with letting your ego know you got to do that in order to keep the form good.
Exactly.
Yes. I used to be a huge ego lifter, and it has taken a lot for me to not. Okay. I know that we have quite a few big lifts. I thought you were looking for something.
No, I had to burp.
You're drinking kombucha, so I'm like throaty and burpy, and it's a good time over here.
We shared kombucha together this evening. I think we're all getting our big lifts open. I know that a lot of yours come, or do all of yours come from the meat review?
Yeah, they're all from the meat review.
So I'll just real quickly, we have a few big lifts from Kirsten Skurlock. And I know that one of you had sent it to the podcast, but Kirsten Skurlock has a meet coming up. But she just squatted 640 in wraps out of the mono in prep for this competition. She did that on February 27th, which was...
What weight class is she in?
She's super heavy.
Okay. Wow.
So
640.
And her, I know she signed up for the showdown, but I think there's a different competition that she's doing, like, either this weekend or next weekend. So watch for big numbers from her. And then we have Emma Jarman, 465. And she is a 181 or smaller weight class. 465 for an easy squat single. T.L. McCord, she is a lightweight competitor, 500-pound, 18-inch deadlift.
Ooh.
At a competition, Strongest Bell of the Bluegrass, which is a strongman competition that happened not last weekend, but the weekend before.
Oh, was that the Kentucky one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And
Bluegrass, there it goes.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a 65-pound PR for her.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Good on you.
Yes. And then Barbell Destiny, what is her actual name? Rachel Torres. She just sumo deadlifted 600, and she's also going to be at the showdown in the fall.
Is that the new showdown that was announced, like, today?
No.
What showdown is this?
It's just called the showdown. Oh. It's in September.
Okay.
And
that's the one that we were talking about where Danny Mello, longtime USAPL IPF lifter, just signed up for. And it's a WRPF meet. So that's a very... interesting piece of news.
That means that she's making her exit from the USAPL because once you compete in a different federation, you can't...
From the IPF.
From the IPF, not the USAPL.
Yeah,
I'm confused. Yeah, I don't know.
The bylaws get a little tricky, but yeah. Basically, there's a... Once you compete WRPF or USPA or a non-tested division, you have a certain, and I don't recall the rule off the top of my head, but you have a certain,
I think it's 2 years.
It is 2 years. Yeah.
So, you know, the long time rivalry has been between Amanda Lawrence and Daniela Mello in the 181 weight class.
185. The
84 kilo weight class in the USAPL and IPF. They kind of go back and forth with the world records and the championships. So Daniela Mello's making her exit. I haven't seen anything from Amanda Lawrence yet, though, about doing that.
No, I don't personally foresee that, but it's hard to say. There's been a lot of changes with weight classes and stuff. So Daniela also moved down to 165. I know that she was cutting with the goal of competing 72. And then there was the weight class redistribution, and now she's competing 165. So that's going to be going up against Christy and Brianni. And
I can read them. Cool. Did you have a question?
Sorry.
Yeah, I forgot it, but now I got it back. Sorry. So she's leaving the federation, but she's not leaving powerlifting.
Right.
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if that meant she was like exiting powerlifting.
So the USAPL IPF is really the only federation that I'm aware of that people like have some sort of like loyalty like that or are forced into loyalty.
Gotcha.
So Ray Williams, for instance, and I know this is the podcast about women in strength sports and he's a male, but he's a great example of like one of the highest like totals ever for male tested powerlifters, and everyone wants him to go do these big meets with all the other untested guys.
Sure.
But he won't do it because he wants to be able to go to the IPF,
worlds and IPF represent
worlds. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Our nation, I guess, but yeah.
So the showdown is in Kansas City, Missouri, and it's in September.
Okay, yeah.
And they posted today, with the current roster, we could legitimately see five or more women pulling 600-pound plus deadlifts.
Okay, and I think that was the one that a bunch of people were sharing, and they were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on track.
The 165-pound women's class so far, and I think there's more invites still out there, Hunter Henderson, Brianni Terry, Christy Hawkins, Daniela Mello, Amanda Fiatoa, Jessica Slavinsky, Rachel Torres, that's the one I just talked about, Christina Sisk, Bria Robinson, Ashley Contorno,
Bria's doing it. Cool.
Luna Saul, Maldonado, and Jamie Piper.
Wow. You're about to hear a lot of those names over again.
I think that I just have two more big lifts real quick.
Yeah.
Sierra lifts. She... I don't know her last name, but her name's Sierra. She did a meet this past weekend, and she took a world record, I think. Top five all-time raw 181 women. So she did a 446 squat. So this is sleeved, not wrapped. 237 bench. And a 567 deadlift. So a 1250 total at 181.
Jesus Christ. And that's so impressive.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
I would not be surprised if Sierra signs up for the showdown if she has an invite. We'll see. And then finally, I've talked about Rachel before. Rachel Stone is a 19-year-old strongman competitor.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
She's 134 pounds, and she just squatted 365 sleeves.
Wow.
Yep.
God damn.
Yeah. Also, fun fact, her boyfriend is, like, TikTok famous for his lifting. So that's what I have for big lifts for this week.
So I have two big lifts, and then I have a meet review, effectively. Sure. So first of all, a sport that I know very little in. Weightlifting. So that's when you do clean and jerk complex and the snatch. So we had a Cal Strength athlete, Madison, and I apologize, I don't know pronunciation here. It looks like Panel or Pinnell. Her Instagram is mad.deason, so Madison. But she did a new American record. She clean and jerked 240 pounds, so 109 kilograms.
Whoa.
This girl's 49 kilograms.
What?
That's so small.
She's very
what's that
lean.
You are athlete. A muscular woman. I didn't
she's
mean to call
muscular
you small.
As hell. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. We're just talking about three people. I personally came out of the womb like 49.5. So I'd have to cut.
I'm a super heavyweight.
So, very impressive. And her emotion kind of moved me after watching the video. It was, you could tell it's something this girl's worked, this woman has worked very hard for.
Beautiful.
So, I'm sure it's been a trying year at Cal Strength as well. So, the other one was out of the 8-man open. This happened, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Kiko, she's a 132-pound lifter. Kiko Fredette, I believe is how I'm saying that. But she got the overall best female lifter. She got a 455 kilogram total, which is over 500 dots. And that's a pretty decent accomplishment. Mm-hmm. This was her first meet in wraps. So this athlete has been steadily increasing her total. And she left a bit on the table for squats, especially considering she has the all-time world record holder for the junior raw squat.
Oh.
So this is somebody who was very, very good at the raw squat and is switching over to wraps. Mm. So that's going to be really exciting to see what comes on her next. Hopefully she does another wrapped meet and we get to see what she can put on the table. But pretty impressive. Otherwise, the hybrid showdown is a highly toted meet. I'm sure you guys saw a lot of it on social media.
Yep.
But I am going to go through these cards in no specific order, but I'm going to open, unsurprisingly, with Bree Terry. Bree Terry totaled 608 kilograms. That's 1340 pounds raw. And she, it wasn't with wraps.
I guess I didn't even realize that she wasn't wrapped.
Yeah, she was not wrapped. It was actually surprising. Quite a few female athletes were not wrapped at this meet. But
I love it. I love it both ways.
But yeah, she got her all-time world record deadlift with 585 pounds. Yes. So it will be very interesting to see what she can put on that at the showdown.
Yeah.
We have Angela Bennett. She's 123 pounds.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. She also has an over 500 dots, and she totaled 960 pounds raw.
Just for people who maybe are not as familiar with powerlifting, mm-hmm. we didn't talk about dots in our last episode. Just real quickly, what is it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, I forgot that we pre-recorded some things that I feel like everybody's heard, but they have not. Other division, and I'm comparing this division. Well, my score is 506 and yours is 505. Mm-hmm. Therefore, according to this equation, I beat you.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like some meets you win by your Wilks or your dots. Mm-hmm. Some meets they do just by total.
So within your weight class, it should always be total. But for overall lifter, most meets are by Wilks, dots, or IPF score. Mm-hmm. So,
Anyways, back to the review.
All good. So Angelina, basically what I really wanted to touch on with Angelina is she's added 40 kilograms to her total in 6 months.
How many pounds is that?
That's an excellent question. Like 88.
Wow. In how many months?
6 months.
Wow.
That's very
nice. Talk about using COVID to your advantage, right?
For real.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. We also have Chloe Lansing. She's 149 pounds. She's a disabled athlete. But her grip gave out on a 551 pound deadlift that she had.
At
149 pounds. She had it flew, mm-hmm. and it gave out on grip.
Oh, that's so frustrating when that happens.
Yeah, and yet she still came out number 4 all-time total raw. So we will see. That's pretty exciting. And
hell yeah.
She has more in the tank. And her posts now have been like, I will get that 550 and more. And it's like, yeah, girl.
Heck yeah, you will.
Bria Robinson, she's an athlete out of California Elite Training Center. She's 148 pounds, but she also cracked a 500 dots. She got 501. It was her first meet in over a year, and she definitely left some weight on the table. It was her first showdown, but she, according to her bio, mines her own. But she's a very hardworking athlete, so I'm very excited to see her at the showdown and see what she puts up. Sarah Carver is 123 pounds. She totaled 420 kilograms. Nice. Raw. She's added 25 kilograms from last year's showdown. So she did one showdown and then the next. Mianna Albersworth, 132 pounds. She went 5 for 7, so she had an off day. But even still, she totaled 1,051 pounds as a 132-pound female lifter.
She's so strong.
Yeah.
It's so wild.
When people like her, like, had an off day, you're like, okay, my God.
Okay.
I just want to point out to that, Britt, put off day in quotes.
Yeah.
You can't see that when people are listening.
Unfortunately, we're not yet video recording.
Okay, you maybe really have to remind me to wear makeup on that. Yeah.
And then Rose Thompson, she is 132 pound. This is her first meet non-USAPL. I actually found out that I competed with her at Nats.
Nationals. I like Rose a lot.
In 2019. Hmm. Yeah.
At the Arnold?
At Nationals. Yeah.
Anyways, continue.
No, you're all good. But she's a 38-year-old lifter, and she's one of the few women, this is just the final thing I'm going to close on. She's one of the few women who actually took her third deadlift. She got 3 white lights. Almost the entire flight scratched their third deadlifts.
Oh.
A lot of them had grinders for seconds. Sure. It was a bit more of an aggressive selection. Mm-hmm. So that's the best reasoning I can make for that. So you saw a lot of lifters going 7 for 8 or, 6 for 8 or what have you instead of for 9.
Yeah.
And, I guess just a learning moment. You can do that. You don't have to go out there if you don't, think that it's worth maybe your health or what have you. You can just scratch your final lift. It doesn't make for as exciting of a day, but it's a very mature decision. And a lot of the women made it, we were all really confused watching from the gym all together. We were like, what?
I walked in right when Rose was doing her last deadlift, and it was amazing. I talked to her about it.
She was really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So Briani, all-time world record for total?
No, deadlift.
Just deadlift.
Yeah,
okay.
Raw.
Not just deadlift. Raw deadlift. I'm sorry, Bri. Yeah. I didn't mean that.
What? Sorry, I'm going to ask a really seemingly...
Go for it.
Just no dumb questions.
Don't question it. Just ask it.
Thank you. What's a raw deadlift?
So there are different. It's kind of funky. So if you register for the meet as a wrapped squat, there's a whole set of records that go with that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you register with raw, there's a whole slew of records that go with that.
Sure.
So her raw, I say raw deadlift, but it has nothing to do with her actual deadlift event. It has to do with
what equipment she's wearing.
Yeah, it has to do with the squat she did earlier that day.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure. And then I was like, am I missing equipment that I don't?
Well, you can.
Stop messing with my medals, Meredith.
I just want to know what it's like to wear one. But I don't want to compete.
But, great question. There obviously are equipped deadlifts, but not raw or wrapped deadlifts.
Just wanted to make sure what I was thinking was correct.
Though I did find out while reading the WRPF rule book just the other day, as I do on my spare time, you can wear sleeves or wraps on any event.
Wow.
In the WRPF.
I think, I read it like 3 times over. Wow. I was like, there's no way, that can't be right.
And, I mean... I do see, especially in strongman, people will wear sleeves when they're deadlifting because it protects their knees, right? If your bar path is really close to your legs.
USAPL did, they allow sleeves, but it's the wraps that
right. Well, and
that throws me, and I don't even know a lot about it.
Only hurt you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I think if you were battling a knee injury,
maybe
that could be something that might
hold it together.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean,
you
do you, right? We've all done things.
Listen,
to get
we're
through.
All somewhat masochistic in this sport.
Yeah, we all do things to get through competitions. I mean, I keep super glue in my bag because if you rip off a callus, you want to keep going. You super glue that MF back on.
Yeah.
My hands hurt.
We want to do a little bit of an upcoming contest preview. So I have two, and then Meredith is going to talk about strongman. Southwest CrossFit.
I was like, wait, what?
A different strong sport.
There's crossover there. Anyway, talk about that in a different episode.
That was pure panic.
She's even... Anyways, so Southwest Strongest Woman is put on by Julia Smay and Heather... sorry, Heather, I'm forgetting your last name. Women's only contest in Arizona, Glendale, Arizona.
What's up?
Heather McDonald. Her name's right here, Heather McDonald. And they actually just opened up a gym in Arizona as well. I don't think it's only for women, but they made it because there was a culture in the gyms in that area of really misogynistic situations and also body shaming.
Right.
Sorry, no. But so I'm much so that these two women were like, you know what? We're going to open our own gym.
That's awesome. More women should do that.
Honestly. Yeah. So
what gym is it?
Their gym is called, let me see if I can find it quick.
I'm yeah, sorry Julia's. To put you on the spot. That's okay. I just moved here from Arizona, so I have a lot of...
It's called Unbroken Strength.
Okay.
It's in Glendale, Arizona, and they are an open gym, so you don't have to be like an athlete of theirs, but they are mainly focused for strongman, powerlifting, and Highland Games. Cool. Shout out to Unbroken Strength. Way to just create your own space when you need it, you know? Good for you. But yeah, so that meet is coming up on April 3rd. And then there is a women's pro-am coming up. And they are trying to create more prize money for women and strongman. So one of the huge topics about in the sport of strongman right now is the discrepancy between prize money for men and prize money for women, both at the pro level and at the amateur level. I wish that I knew the figures off the top of my head or had researched them before this, but I wasn't necessarily prepared to have this conversation. But between the pro men and the pro women at the Arnold, there is like such a huge prize money discrepancy. We're talking like tens of thousands of dollars. And that's a whole nuanced conversation because mm-hmm. one of the arguments against parity, that's what it's called, right? Equal pay mm-hmm. is called parity, is that, well, the men's pro Arnold has been happening for longer. Mm. So, Britt, I'm going to invite you to jump in as I talk about this pro-am because you were having the conversation with one of the women who's putting it on, but it's Iron Warrior Women's Pro-Am in May, and they are creating a Patreon so that people can donate to be a part of parity, equal pay for women and strongman at this contest. Mm-hmm. So we will post on our page, we'll tag them so that you can go and find their Patreon and contribute to, you know, if you want to see some strong, badass women win some money, you can be a part of that.
Heck yeah. I think at the time of release, their Patreon may not be public just yet. Mm-hmm. But we'll do an update post if it's not public when we release this episode. But
yes.
Yeah, it's cool. It's got different membership levels, like different tiers, as any Patreon usually does. It's not just an empty GoFundMe, basically. They are actually offering things in return, aside from just feeling pride and supporting your fellow woman. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's a very cool idea, and I think it's really promising. It's a cool structure, and I'm excited to see how it plays out, honestly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just to give you a little bit more details about the contest, Iron Warrior Women's Pro-Am is put on by Christina Bangma, Eat Cake Lift Heavy on Instagram, in Huntington, Indiana on May 22nd.
I love her Instagram name. Sorry for sniggering. It's
so good. Which happens to be my birthday, fun fact.
Wait, which day is that?
May 22nd.
Okay.
Everyone send me presents.
Our Gemini queen.
And it's going to have a max axle, this is for the pro-am, car deadlift, keg press for reps, 2 pressing events. What are you doing to us? Farmers carry with a turn and max keg load over bar. And that's a Strongman Corporation sanctioned event. So May 22nd, go lift with some badass ladies or don't give towards their prize money.
Yeah.
Meredith, you want to talk about a little bit about the CrossFit Games?
Sure. The Open is what starts the game season, That's not a question, though, but it's starts the game season. It used to when I did CrossFit, and I know they've changed a lot since then. But it starts this Thursday, which is March 11th. I actually don't know if they've changed it or not. They used to just announce the workout that day. I don't know what it is yet, but we will talk about it.
Yes, we will.
And I just kind of, I looked up who the expected the top CrossFit women are, the top nine for 2021. And so here they are.
Women to watch.
Women to watch. Andrea Nisler from the United States. She used to do teams. Now she's competing as an individual. Melina Rodriguez from Argentina. She's apparently becoming one of the first female from Latin America in CrossFit to compete.
Ooh, cool. Yep.
She's 24. I don't know how old the other one is. Nope, they didn't write that in here. Kara Saunders from Australia. She's been in it for a while. I remember her from when I used to watch it. She placed 12th in the Open last year and 8th overall. Haley Adams is 19. She's from the United States.
Wow.
19.
Yeah.
Wow.
At right?
The CrossFit Games. Is there do you have to be 18 to do the CrossFit Games? Do we?
Yeah.
Know? Okay.
Yeah.
I'd hope so.
Yeah. They have a junior. Okay. Full disclosure. I have not paid full attention to CrossFit Games since they changed it. And especially with all of the things that happened this summer with CrossFit. But I do, we do want to give recognition to the athletes, which is what we're doing here.
Exactly.
And so from what I know previous to this year and when they changed the Open, they had a junior section that was 14 or something to 17, and then 18 and to 34, I believe. You could compete in the games, the gauntlet of all the humans, and then I think 35 or maybe 36 and over was their masters one.
That makes sense that they would categorize it.
Danny Spiegel from the United States also is one of the women to watch. She was apparently cut in 2019 after the 6,000 meter ruck event, which sounds like hell on earth.
You're running with a pack on
which she described as her biggest weakness. She had a better showing in 2020 with 13th place, taking fourth in the one rep max front squat at 293 pounds.
Wow. That was
Jesus. Impressive girl. She won a games competition this year that was hosted by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Know him. He's kind of famous.
Mildly, casual.
Say nice guy I've ever met him. Nice guy.
Seems
but everyone
nice guy.
I know has met nice. Him has said nothing but lovely things about him. So, Chloe Smith, she is, she was 18 before COVID. Sorry, I'm just reading this as we're going. I'm not very prepared. So the teen events were canceled in 2020. She's competing now, not in the teens division this year for the games. And then Sarah Sigmund's daughter from Iceland. I didn't see her for, I think there was one year that she got injured or something and she had to drop out and all of that. And I've been watching her for a long time. So she's one of the top nine to watch again, which is exciting. And then Karen Frivoya from Slovakia. She is on the list. And Gabriela Migala from Poland is that ninth person, and it's in no specific order either.
That starts this Thursday.
Yeah, so the Open starts Thursday, so it'll be
that's March
11th. Yeah.
So I've done some avid Googling. just kind of interesting in the age of COVID. So they are allowing athletes to film and qualify that way in their homes. And because of that, they know that a lot of athletes won't have all of the things that they would traditionally have in their home or in their CrossFit gym.
Right, yeah.
So they did release all of the
equipment
that they're going to use so everybody could get ready, which... That's nice. I mean, I'm not a CrossFit athlete, but I am familiar with a lot of the movements. And so it does leave you with at least some direction for what to train for.
Yeah.
What you need is a dumbbell, a barbell and plates, a plyo block box, a jump rope, a pull-up location, and wall space. So let's think really hard. Like, yeah. that really paints the picture for what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Probably a lot of thrusters.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're going to do a lot of probably jump overs, jump ropes.
Yeah. Burpees, I'm metric sure.
Ton I of kind pull-ups. Of really like that because...
Handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going back towards what... CrossFit originally started was. As and this is I'm totally ignorant to the sport, but it just seems like CrossFit started as a much more accessible way of being fit. And then I mean the last time I paid attention the games was the marathon row. I was like, in what world? And I mean
see it's the hard last it's time hard. I watched it, they were having them do handstand push-ups on the rings. Like you had to get on the rings and turn upside down and then do that with your feet like hooked in
injury
the... And I was like, this is just getting dangerous. Like the pegboard also was one where I was like, I'm not into
Ninja
this.
Warrior.
Yeah, I was like, where's the line? Like how ridiculous is Dave Castro going to be? Which we all found out very quickly.
I think it's pretty cool. And I think it allows the athletes, so you probably get to train a bit more specifically. Their specificity is probably through the roof right now. There's only so many, you know, different alterations they can make with that list of equipment.
Yeah,
and so I think you're going to see some amazing things.
I'm excited about it.
Anything that CrossFit is about, it's usually not specificity.
Exactly. So exactly.
I do really appreciate the fact that they are making it accessible in the midst of global pandemic.
I agree.
Because some countries are completely open, right? Like New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
You can go anywhere. You don't have to wear a mask. But even in the United States, some states are super open and some states are super locked down. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. It also, just quick little... Oh, go ahead.
No. Oh. I did have something, but I can put a pin.
Okay. Just quick, you know, this is how I qualified for World's Strongest Woman this year. I filmed two videos and submitted them and had to get on the leaderboard, right? Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is they had already had that as an option in the past so that it could be actually a world competition because accessibility in fitness and strength sports is a huge issue, right?
Yeah.
And so they usually made it so that anyone from any country, if you have a barbell and some strongman implements, you could do it. So that's something that they were ahead of the curve on.
And I feel like it would be, especially this year, just classist as hell to do otherwise because, you know, it's very different if you can afford to even have a little garage gym situation that we had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
privilege.
That was a privilege, let alone some gym like Dwayne The Rock Johnson has.
Or even, like, Tia Claire Tomei keeps winning the CrossFit Games, and she's also an actual, like, Olympic weightlifting competitor.
Really?
Like, she goes to the Olympics to compete.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's why she's not on that list this year, because the Olympics are also this summer.
Yeah, I don't know. There was one year that she was competing in the CrossFit Games, and then she was going to Rio to do the Olympics.
I mean, I understand the criticism there, but also, like... What
she's
a fucking badass,
These
right?
She's just
like,
the nine to watch for 2021.
Yeah. But you know what
this
I'm saying?
Is not
like,
leaving her out. I'm sure if she's competing, she'll probably fucking win.
Yeah.
She's won four times in a row.
But like, how elite can you be?
That's right.
Elite. Not only are you a CrossFit champion, but you're also an Olympic athlete, which is like the upper echelon of athletics. Right?
Yeah.
Also, like, a fun fact I found out, there is a Olympic competitive athlete that lives in Portland who she's on the women's fencing team for the Olympics.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
one of my coworkers, her daughter is a freshman at, I believe, UCLA, and she's qualified in 3 events for the trials for That's swimming.
Amazing.
I just
had to like talk about other women and other sports
for Yeah, Olympics. Absolutely. And I was going to say something else about the Olympics too. Oh, I mean, another thing with CrossFit is there are some notable athletes not on that list because there are some women in CrossFit who have transitioned to bobsled.
Oh, yeah. Kelsey Keel.
Kelsey Keel. Yeah. And there's Colleen.
I know I can't.
I can't remember her last name. But yeah, there's 2 or 3. Yeah. So that's super cool.
Yeah. Kind of just like a side note. So I am from Colorado, and the Olympic Training Center is in Colorado Springs. And I used to have like a really cool experience once or twice a year where we got to go and have meets there.
Cool.
It was so cool. And the number of like, you know, mutual friends with Olympians because of that training center is just like bewildering. Like For I just real. Kind of like was sitting here like smiling, like it feels like I'm back in Colorado because everybody's always like, well, actually my coworker's best friend or my coworker's husband or like, but speaking of swimming, I actually got to swim today for the first time since COVID started. I have been saying to my partner that I'm going to do it, who is also, we were both collegiate swimmers, so we've been, you know, talking.
Alex was a collegiate swimmer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry.
he did it a little bit more for fun. Cool. But definitely above average about that by a long shot. You know, we've been talking about doing it for a really long time, but of course COVID, and every time we go to do it, a new restriction came up or something.
Sure.
And it got to the point where I was like, I'm going to swim in a frozen lake again. And he was no, you're not.
Cool walking distance from my house. Like, so if it opens this summer, we can swim.
But yeah, so tonight, just on a whim, I called LA Fitness and I was like, hi, I don't have a membership. I kind of want to swim. How can I do that without buying a membership today? Because we were going to buy a membership together, and they're like, oh, just get a guest pass. And I'm like, okay, sweet. So I enter an LA Fitness for the first time in years. I've been training at private, semi-private powerlifting specific gyms for years, and I'm very used to that culture. And I'm not as used to the typical big gym culture. I'm used to knowing every single female, and and
all five of us,
exactly I'm used to seeing someone and being like, oh, just got a new shirt, that's cute.
I haven't seen that one in here before.
it's so positive in that way. Where I walked into the gym and I saw this woman who was beautiful. She was like beautiful, right? And she was done up in like Buff Bunny or Gymshark or something like that sort of clothing. And I felt myself have like a pre-thought where like I went to judge this person on the amount of skin she was showing or the amount of makeup or whatever. And I like threw this huge like yield, caution, stop sign in my own head. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, you just thought to yourself, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. And then you just immediately go to have negative thoughts about this person. Fuck no. Like, she is pretty. She feels confident and she's getting it done. She was lifting weights too. So like, fucking awesome. And I like sat there in my own head having this whole like conversation and revelation about the patriarchy and how
misogyny.
Internalized misogyny. And the guy who was like ringing me up was like, ma'am, your barcode.
Sometimes I wear makeup on purpose to the gym, and I like put on makeup right before I go to the gym.
It's a huge confidence booster.
Yeah. Like, sometimes nothing does it better for my confidence than red lipstick. And, like, suck my dick if you don't like it.
No. And honestly, like, okay, and here's the thing. The thought was never, like, why is she wearing makeup?
Sure.
Or, like, why? It was the competitiveness.
Yeah.
And this is going to sound... But the internalized competitiveness for the gays.
Mm-hmm. For the male gays, usually.
Not for the gays, but for the male
gays. G-A-Z-E. Yeah.
Yes.
Because we are conditioned to compete for things as women in this world, right? Compete for jobs, compete for men, compete for, you know, spots on a team, whatever. And so you go in and you see a woman who's a badass, who's lifting weights, who's pretty, and your first reaction, your gut reaction, it's not even the front of your brain reaction, it's your subconscious reaction, is she's a threat. But here's the thing. Other women are your competition in strength sports, but they're not your competition.
Yeah.
Right? I am competing against women in the sport to win the sport. But I'm not competing with them for my job or... And that's the thing. At any point, there's enough seats at the table. There's enough slices of pie, right?
Let's make more.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Let's bring another chair instead of saying... Like, there's actually this really interesting concept that I completely am blanking on the term for. But it's where women, like, rise in their male-dominated fields. So, like, STEM, it's very common where a woman will rise. And then if another woman enters the workforce, instead of pulling her up with her, she elbows her down and gets her out because she perceives there as only being one chair available for a woman.
Sure.
I wish I recall what that is called, but...
Patriarchy?
Yeah. But I feel like we're getting into this very cool place where I think we've all recognized that that's not how it has to be. We've had enough brave women pull up seats and chairs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I will admit, it's been really hard for me in competing in strength sports to not feel that judginess or that competitiveness, even about the numbers in and of themselves, right? Where I see a girl deadlift more than me, and I immediately am looking for flaws or thinking about, like, oh, her leverages are better, or oh, she must be taking more supplements than me. Sorry. And it, I will be very honest, it has affected how I've interacted and treated other women in competitions before. It is really easy to fall into what I call, like, the high school cattiness.
Both
in gyms, but especially in competitions.
Yeah.
And honestly, I kind of feel like there are some spaces, right? Like, it seems like your gym, it can be a really good space for women to uplift each other and be in community with each other. But also there are spaces in strength sports where women are doing the exact opposite. They are being catty and pulling each other down and treating each other poorly in competitions, or subtweeting about them, or, you know, talking about them in their stories or their group chats, judging women for having an OnlyFans or for what they wear to the gym or for what they do with their hair when they do their setup, right? Like, people love to talk about Heather Connor and what she does with her hair. And it's just
her hair.
Oh, she's like flips. Like, she's got like a lot of hair, and she flips it around.
Gorgeous,
she
doesn't put it up. Gorgeous.
I'm a Leo. I'm like, get it, girl. Yeah. Love that hair.
Or like Daniela, her gorgeous hair. Do you know how many comments she gets every time? She'll squat like 500 pounds, and someone's like, oh my God, how do you keep your hair so pretty? And it's like,
But like, you know, when we're putting other women down on social media, in our own heads, in our group chats with our friends, it's fucking stupid. Honestly. And, you know, I'm fucking stupid for doing it. At Nationals in October, I literally apologized to a girl for doing it. I said, you know what? I talked shit about you. I was catty, and I'm really sorry. We are both at a very high level, and we are going to be seeing each other at a ton of competitions, and I just want to clear the air and apologize for all the things that I said and did.
That's really brave of you. That's very hard to do.
Yeah.
That's
very hard. It's really hard, and I just really struggle when I see women tearing other women down in the sport, either because they're both going after the same guy or they think that they're going to be competitions at a meet. There's enough spots at the table.
Yeah.
There are enough mediocre men out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, let me get my thoughts together. Hold on. I just can't be bothered to do that shit anymore because in my mind, when we treat each other that way as women, the men fucking win. And I am tired of them having even a sliver of like that feeling of pride that all women are the same and we're all catty and we're all out for each other. I'm tired of it. So I can't be bothered with it. So, and I just... Who cares? Like, if somebody, like, I don't know. And maybe it's partially because I'm not competing in the strength sport, so I don't walk in and see other women as my competition. I would rather just all of us win all the time. And
first
not...
place trophies for everyone. Just right. Kidding. I'm joking.
No, but, like, I just, every time I see another woman put another woman down in the way we're talking about specifically, I'm just like, God. So the men win. The patriarchy wins again, and I'm so tired of it.
Any time that I start, and this is something that I started practicing after something recently that occurred in my life, that you guys both know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I try to think critically about why I am feeling this way. Yeah. 1, 2, 3 levels down. Like, which insecurity is this actually budding from?
Which insecurity is this actually budding from? I just wanted to repeat that.
It's how we heal trauma. Mm-hmm. That is how we do that.
More often than not, it's more than one.
Yeah. There's a root cause, and there's like 5 other roots to get there.
And even in the case where, you know, a person might have done something, like, what is causing you to not just move the fuck on?
Yeah.
Like, and dwell on it? Mm-hmm. Like, what is really, like, causing that? And I think that's a little separate from what we were just talking about of just dragging other women down because...
It all intertwines. Yeah. It's a root system.
But it all has to do with those mm-hmm. insecurities that were put into us and programmed into us as, you know, little girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether it was intentional or not. But yeah, like actually digging in, it's something that before the podcast we were kind of talking about, like reflecting on that and why we are actually, you know, and it's a hard conversation to have with yourself. It gets kind of rough.
In the world I live in, that's what we call shadow work. It's healing your trauma. It's digging in. It's healing, right? And the patriarchal system we live in, women are born into it traumatized immediately. And there's been many studies that show and say that we have, you know, I mean, we obviously have our grandmother's DNA, but the trauma our grandmothers felt is in our mother's wombs. And then we feel it there as we're developing. Mm-hmm. So we're literally born into trauma. So yeah, looking into why we feel this way about other women or why I don't like, you know, the purple color of this can in front of me is, and looking at the different layers down deep to the root cause, that's like healing your own trauma of why you do that. Mm-hmm. And that's what allows us to pull other women up to the table with us.
My dumb ass was like, I really like that.
No, I love the
It's just a metaphor, my friend.
Yeah, I know. And then I was like, no, stick with the metaphor. Follow it.
Well, and let me dial it back and simplify it a little bit. If you find yourself with your female friends, or with your male friends, whoever, consistently putting down other women. I also know of, like, particular women who get railed on all the time.
Yeah.
Charity Witt is one of them, right?
Oh, Charity. I love.
Yeah, or, like, Steffi Cohen or Rebecca Rowley.
Yeah.
Or, like, women who have OnlyFans, right? If you are someone who is continually putting them down, either publicly or privately... It doesn't have anything to do with them,
no,
with
that other woman that you're putting down. Do
it has everything to do with you and where you're at in your life.
And that has to do with all the experiences that you've had and maybe how ill-equipped you are to actually work through those, right? So it's equipping yourself with all of those practices, maybe going to therapy and unpacking some painful things.
Always therapy.
Always therapy. There's therapy that is a sliding scale pay scale for everyone.
Exactly. But one of the things that we were also talking about is we're not saying that every single person ever needs to be your jam.
Totally.
Like, that's not realistic, and that's actually not really like that's feminist not cool either. In nature. Yeah. No. But what we are saying is if you're constantly disparaging someone or if disliking someone has become a personality trait of yours...
I'm snapping. Sorry.
No, it's all good.
It's time to talk, you know? Yeah. It's time to look, and it's not going to...
You can support all women in their endeavors without liking all of them.
That's exactly right. Big picture.
And, like, someone's choices are not your choices, right? Mm-hmm. Who they vote for, what they do for work, how they present themselves on social media. You don't have to like it, like you said. Mm-hmm. But feminism does mean supporting them. Doing the things that you would never do for yourself.
Supporting them in their autonomy to make their own decisions. Yeah. That's great, even if you don't agree with the decisions. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
If that didn't exist, none of us would be doing strength sports, right?
True.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's a good end to this.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for listening to Femme Strong, the podcast by, for, and about women in strength sports. Britt, where can they find you?
On Instagram, my handle is bruh_lifts, bruh_lifts.
Meredith?
You can find me on Instagram at basicwitch, BASICKWITCH.
And I'm Jess. My Instagram is JESSKAH_P. Our Instagram is all one word, FemStrongPod, FEMME for the fem. We will try to tag all of the lifters that we talked about both in the big lifts and the meet review and the meet previews.